Hansi, Liam, Nipuri, Mahiken, Misit, Kagamisit. Hello, I'm Stan Wolfpa of the Talking Book. That is my given name in the Cree language. I come from the Woodland Cree Nation of Civic Creek in Nelda, Alberta. My so-called legal name, that's on that little piece of plastic I have in my pocket, is Stephen Blager. In the community, I use the name Stephen Kakalusa. That is to embrace the fact that I am both part of the modern day society, but I also am deeply entrenched in the knowledge of my people. The name Kakalusit was taken from us. My great grandmother, God bless her soul, she knew of the story of how that name was taken from us. I've been a part of I Don't Know More since the beginning. On December the 5th, myself, my sister Denita Nez, and my sister Marcia, who's over there with Margot Calcilla, we're in our English class one day. We're students at the Native Education College over on 5th of May. We're sitting in class, and Denita comes in, and she's mad. She's stomping around, like, well, what's up? What's going on? Did you see what happened in Ottawa yesterday? Is what she said to Marcia and I. And I had seen it. I'm pretty, I keep up with current events, and so I saw it. And Denita said, so yeah, you saw it. I'm like, yes. The Chiefs went up to the Parliament Building in Ottawa, and the plan was to go in and disrupt the debate on Bill C-45. They got in, or they got to the doors, and two security guards stopped them, turned the Chiefs away. 150 Chiefs got turned away by two security guards. So we were both disgusted at this. We were disgusted at the fact that our leadership got turned away, and they were told that you have no right to be here, you have no right to be at this meeting, and yet they're our leadership, or our supposed leadership. And so we said, well, I guess I didn't say it, but Denita said, okay, what are we going to do about this? And I'm a bit embarrassed to say this, but it's the truth. I said, okay, well, you know what we'll do is we'll think about it, we'll come back in a couple of days, and we'll decide what it is we're going to do. She banged her hand on the desk and was like, no, we're going to do something right here, right now, we're going to decide on it now, and that's what we're doing. I'm like, oh, okay. So I said, okay, well, why don't we have a rally? Why don't we have a march? She's like, okay, well, where are we going to go? And I said, the art gallery. Because whenever people think of a protest, you think art gallery. So she said, okay. So I went up to the library right after we created the event page. And we realized that we heard that there is, I Don't Know More events going on, and that there was a National Day of Action called by our four sisters, Sylvia, Nina, Jessica, and Sheila. They put the call out to have a rally on the 10th, so we said, okay, well, we'll do it on the 10th. We've never organized anything before. How are we going to do this? Like, what are we doing? Like, what do we get ourselves into? She's like, well, I'll just calm down. Like, we'll figure it out. And then that's when people like Scott Clark, people like Darla Goodwin, Good Sister, stepped forward and they said, what do you guys need help with? Like, this is a big thing. We want to support you. What do you need help with? And so I said, everything. What do we do? How do we contact the media? All this. And so Scott said, well, you put a press release together and you can give it to me and I'll give it to some people in the media. I'm like, what's a press release? The way they wanted to do it was they recognized that we were young leaders. And so they told us what to do, but they didn't tell us how to do it. It was a test to see if we could do it. So, of course, jumped on Google, typed up, what is our press release? And I walked through it, and then finally I put it together with help of Julia and Marcia, and we gave it to Scott. And then our sister Kelly White handle the police for us? Because again, we just thought we were just going to march right there, not involved. Because at first we were like, oh, well, we don't want to include the police and everything like that. We're young, brash, militant young people. And so then they're like, well, no, it's a good idea if you call the police because they'll help you out with this stuff. Like, there are good police officers. So we did it. They actually helped us out, and I was surprised. I come from Prince George, and the relationship between First Nations and the police up there, there's no relationship. Like, there's some First Nations police, but... And so we had that rally, and in 5 days, we had 350 people out in the streets. And so we got emboldened by that, and we were like, wow. 3 high school dropouts who are just finishing up their grade 12 now. I'm 21. Danita's 26, and I can't remember how old Marsha is, but at our age, it's like, we're just so emboldened by that. It's, again, high school dropouts, myself having drug and alcohol issues, I'm 9 months sober now, and just, it was like, wow, we did this. What are we doing? What are we going to do next? So we started planning more events, and during the Christmas break, I went up back to Prince George. And I'd seen they're having a rally on the 21st, and I was actually just leaving from here up to Prince George on the 21st. So I was like, well, you know what? Why don't we have a flash mob up at the mall in Prince George? So I put a message on the event page for the 21st up there, and I said, how does a flash mob sound at like 7 o'clock up at the mall? And everybody's like, really? Like, yeah. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. So some of my family helped spread the word out. So I get into Prince George, literally just got into Prince George. Saw my family, it's doing good. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to go. And they're like, what do you mean you have to go? I'm like, oh, I got a flash mob into at the mall at like 5 minutes until we're ready to go. And then right as we start drumming, out of nowhere, 250, as we say in the Cree language, Nihiaos, it's our word for our people. 250 Nihiaos out of nowhere just show up. I'm like, where did you guys come from? They're like, oh, well, we're walking around the mall. It's like, this is flash mob. I'm like, oh, okay. So we're just drumming away, singing songs, giving some speeches and stuff like that. Security guard comes up. It's like, who's the organizer here? And I was gonna take credit, but then one of my brothers stopped and said, none of us are organizers. This is a movement of the people. And I was like, you know what? That's right. So I just kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything more. And then the security guard's like, well, you guys can't be here. It's private property. And I said, well, did you ask the Lele Tene if you could be here? This is their traditional land. Did you ask them if I could be here? No, you didn't. So we have Lele Tene people here. They said we can be here, so you have no right to tell us we can't be here. And they started clapping and they were like, yes. And so we kept drumming and he left. Comes back 15 minutes later, he's like, well, you guys, you have to leave or else we're calling the police. And so I just said, what's that? You want us to drum louder and sing louder? Okay. So we just kept going and, oh man, this one sister, I can't remember her name, but she was just right into it. She threw her entire being into it. She was just going, say, leading the songs and everything like that.
So what does this conference mean within the context of Idlewind and for Idlewind?
Well, for myself personally, this conference means that our people are getting together, and it's a cross-section of our people getting together and realizing that it's all well and good that we're doing flash mobs and round dances and all this. And I mentioned this in the first rally on December the 10th. It's all well and good that we're doing that, but we have to figure out how we move forward, how we move this movement forward in a good way. And that's what we're doing. You see these brothers and sisters behind me, that's what they're doing. We're here today, we're bringing our minds together, our wealth of knowledge and our experience and saying, okay, well, how do we pool all our resources together? How do we pool all our knowledge together? And how do we move forward in a good way? Today's the first day. And so we've done a lot of really good discussions. And so tomorrow we'll be able to actually sit down and be like, okay, We talked about it. We got some good ideas. How do we form this into one big amalgamated push forward? And so that's what this conference is for us. And it can't just be here in Vancouver. It has to be across the province and across the country. And if we can, across the Americas, because this affects all of our people in the Americas. Because it may just be, in this respect, Bill C-45 and 38 and the other 14 bills. But then in the broader context, it's an attack on every indigenous person in the world. And there's 300 million of us in the world who are indigenous. And it's an outright attack. But the way the government's doing it, it's veiling it as a, oh, it's just the Indians up here up in Canada. And I'm sorry for using that term. I don't like using the term Indian. I use Indigenous or Nihiyaw or jokingly between my brothers and sisters, Nietzsche. It's a term that we like to use. But that's what this conference means for me, is that we're coming together in a good way. We have elders and young and old and everybody in the middle forming a consolidating plan to move forward. And then what was the second question again?
Second question is, and this is something we've been discussing in many different groups, but what does decolonization mean to you?
Decolonization means to me that we, first of all, we have to remove the mental chains of colonialism. And we do that by learning our culture, learning our languages, learning our traditions, our history. I'm a student of Malcolm X. I full-heartedly support and agree with his doctrine and his ideology. And this is the same thing he was saying. Learn your language, learn your history, learn your culture, learn where your people come from. Because one day we are going to want to move back to our traditional homelands. I come from Treaty 8 territory in Alberta. And already there's people talking about moving back onto our traditional territories. Here in BC they're talking about doing it. In Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the territories. We're talking about, and some of us are even doing right now, living on our traditional territories instead of the treaty territories, instead of living on the reserves, because those were set up for us. But now, and also, it involves working with our other colonized brothers and sisters. Because it's not just Nihiyaws, it's not just Indigenous. The second I wake up, the second I open my eyes in the morning, I see colonization. Like, you look out the window right now, that's colonization. This chair, these clothes, that's colonization. And so we have to identify, we have to realize it, and we have to move forward. And that's how it starts. That's how we throw off the chains of colonization, is by identifying it and acknowledging it. And then we can start to say, then how do we address it? Because a lot of people don't really know what colonization is. They just think it's some term or these actions, but really it's the simple this. My phone, the camera, that's colonization. So we like I said, identification, acceptance, and then moving forward.